And the telephone's ringing right as I begin this. And this is the sound of me not answering it. The strange thing is, when the phone rings and you don't answer it, you pay very, very close attention to it. It's as though you've never been so absorbed in your life. You wait for each ring to come round. Here it comes. And there it is, and the ring comes, and then you wait again. And this is an intense focus. I suppose I'm just surprised at my own intense focus on such an unimportant thing, because I'm not going to answer it. And it's as though I'm waiting for some phenomenon to stop the phone from ringing, or for some other thing to happen, or as though the person who's calling might somehow magically appear in the room somehow, as though they've transported or teleported through the phone lines. Strange. Never noticed that. Anyway, I saw a film last night, The Queen, starring Helen Mirren and James Cromwell. And some other people I don't know. And James Cromwell certainly looks the part, but his accent was always decaying. His accent was like a loose tooth. It was always falling out a bit, and you were rooting for him, but you just knew he's too old and too simple to pull it off. But he does pull it off because he looks so the part, and you like him. You give him the benefit of the faltering accent. And anyway, so the film is about the events surrounding the death of Princess Diana and the way the Queen handled it all. Or mishandled it. And it's a very nice, small film about some very big things. I suppose they're big. They're big depending on what you think the world is made of. For me, they're, I don't know, small, I suppose. But, you know, I like the people and I like the pomp around which they must marshal their resources, being the Queen, and all that. The fellow that played Tony Blair was very good, a little too impish. But I suppose that's better than not. And the man that did the Prince Charles, very simpering portrayal. I don't know if Charles is really like that. Sort of simultaneously doing the right things, but doing them the wrong way. You want to push Charles off the bridge. Just let him fall off into the water. And it didn't look like him. I wonder if he's somehow captured some essence of Charles. I don't know Charles really at all. I've only seen photos. Never heard him speak. But anyway, I wasn't particularly astonished by Helen Mirren's portrayal. I thought it was excellent and right on the line. It just did a good job. It was like a workman's job. Nothing spectacular. Not that I need fireworks to present awards to people, but I wasn't quite sure why people got so excited about her. As to me, it was a very workmanlike job, no different than anyone else in the film did. But I suppose sometimes it's your time. And maybe it was Helen Mirren's time to get an award. As for example, against Meryl Streep, who who took The Devil Wears Prada and made it the movie that it was. She gave it the jewel at the center of the oyster quality that it has. Otherwise, it wouldn't really be there at all. Just be something to give to Charles before you push him off into the water. So she really, Meryl Streep really shaped and centered the film she was in, really created the, any whatever importance it had, created that importance, whereas Helen Mirren simply helped prop up the film. She was in this film, and she was one part, one peg of the tent of it. Maybe she was a more significant tent peg, but I'm not against her. I'm just surprised that anyone came out of it and said, oh, it's time for an Academy Award. So I don't see that. I don't come away with that. That's often the case with these movies, is that I feel a sense of disconnection from the exhilaration, the astonishment, the pleasure. I mean, I get pleasures from things, but they don't seem aligned with the whatever it would be that they wouldn't be aligned with. I'll just call it the thing. We've had a lot of snow. Yesterday, about 7 inches. I woke this morning and there was more snow on the cars. And strangely, though, last night I woke, middle of the night, 2:30, because the cat saw another cat outside. There's a cat that lives outside here. It's orange. And even though there's a foot of snow, this cat is walking around the yard in this deep snow. So I think of it as a not necessarily sane cat. Twisted, strange, wild, woods, snow walker. Little bit afraid of him. Don't want to cross paths with him. And this other cat shows up, our cat, just goes ballistically insane, making all those noises that cats, you know, make once a year. They don't ever make them, and then they make them now, and they do sound like babies being strangled and all that other people have described better. But at any rate, it was a beautiful, beautiful night. Very moony out. Great moonlight all over the snow. So that's why I was surprised when I woke up and more snow had fallen in this little space. This beautiful evening had turned momentarily into very cloudy and snowy. Always throws me off when in that space of sleep some strange weather pattern arrives. So, I'm doing some music and we'll do a little. Now, if I can remember it. I don't think I can. But not how they played. Away. I can't figure it out. It's something that I don't know, maybe other musicians. I don't know if I call myself a musician, but I play instruments. I don't know if other people who play instruments run into the same dilemmas that I do. Not knowing what the notes are, not remembering how to play them. Just a bunch of strange dilemmas. It's like as though you were going down to do the dishes, and there they are in the sink, all filthy, and you don't remember what's next. You turn the water on, find a sponge, get the soap, but then you can't even remember what the fact of those things, the fact of the sponge or the soap. So you struggle around the sink and you find, you know, the soft object, and you, this should hold as you turn the water on. Oh, you put this soft object under there and maybe a rubber plate. And that's how it feels to me. So I've forgotten how to do it each time. Is it? No, I don't know. Maybe that's bad. Bad analogy. Could be some other. This was a song for David. After his girlfriend seemed to leave him. But then she came back. But apparently she's left him again. But now he doesn't care. So this, the emotional feeling of this song has been just disappeared. Once upon a blackbird, in the dark and stormy night, I heard the rattle of the shatter of the breaking of your heart. Beat and breathe. But now it doesn't matter. It could be some other, like a happy song. Oh, I've lost West Side. I'm happy she's gone. Gonna watch Indiana Jones now. But that's also a function of many other things going on in his life, I suppose. He's excited because he's, maybe his profile has been raising up. People are recognizing him a little bit, or his, just his sort of social esteem level has gone up. Maybe he's noticed that and so feels empowered. Oh, I could have these other people. I could have another girlfriend. And maybe before he thought no one else would ever have me. And now he sees that possibly somebody else. So he's not tied to one person. The world is open. That's interesting. That's a transition for him into something that I'm sure from his perspective seems very good. I'm respected. I'm admired. People are saying I'm valuable and good. But it's very tricky after that. It's difficult to deal with it's difficult to deal with good news like that about yourself. Because then you begin to focus on that good news as a new source of nourishment, because it's so pleasant. Oh, who do you mean I'm good? You think that I'm a good person. Oh, no one's ever said this to me before. And so you become more interested in that expression, in that expression of others, and them finding you a good person. It's a vicious little circle, or a feedback loop can be generated in there. And the thing is that it's good to recognize that other people care for you and that they value you. But it's also important to recognize how difficult it is to move on from that. That's a part of the transition, is recognizing part of the fact of the transition. And I just bored myself, so stop there. Good luck, David. You're very, very charming. So if you're another song, this was half of the Blowhard. He asked me to do a cover song of a Donovan song. And I don't know if I ever could find the right notes in the strange song he wanted. Was it Atlantis, something like that? But then found this. I started playing this and started singing these lyrics. So let's see if I can find this one. Here's the sponge and the soap, and I'll turn the water on. Hello, buddies, Brooklyn Blowhard, here to set the record straight. It's not the past itself I'm missing, just those things that made it great. Roger Corman and John Waters. I don't have any more words. I just was going to do a thing about how he prefers the things from the 70s and 60s, and I guess just before the 80s, to the more modern things, and it's just a catalogue. It's a catalogue song, that's how I think of it. You know, it has an introduction of this and this, and then here we have Paris Hilton and Harry Potter of today, but I would rather have Deborah Harry and Luke Skywalker. And sometimes I like with that song, even though I like it, I don't think there's something about it, I don't think I'll ever finish it. Sometimes you know that. And then sometimes you know it, and then you finish it. So you must always have the perspective that you don't know what's going on at all. That's the best place to be. Smart. It's smart to recognize that you're not so smart. That's why some humility is good. Or, I say some, but I just mean humility. And that's really just an originating perspective. Where are my thoughts coming from? What are they cradled in? And humility is a cradle of a kind, and it just allows your perspective to take shape, and that perspective will be whatever, like this is the best, or I'm the greatest, or when you see a film and you think it's the best, and you think because you think it's the best, it must be the best. But if you come cradled in humility, you know that your perspective is one of billions. Whoever else has seen it will have a different perspective, and someone's going to hate it and think it's the worst film. And it's important to let them. It's important also to recognize that it's not important that other people agree with you. There's no purpose in that. Though we all have that tension. A lot of what we do is to get others to agree with us. And we struggle with that. And when people disagree with us, we try to show them how they are wrong. Try to bring them round. Look, the reason this is Helen Mirren. Look at how terrific she is. James Cromwell's accent was perfect. That's how Prince Philip talks. Everyone's right. And everything's okay. Anyway, I didn't know I was going to do this. I don't know if I'm going to post it. I was then sort of taking a break. But I was working on that song, and then I just got bored or I couldn't figure it out, so I thought, I'll just talk, see what happens. I saw a movie, I can talk about that maybe. Right. So, very nice. I'll just call this old number 9 or 8. At any rate, nice speaking with you. We'll see. See what happens in the coming days. Maybe I'll do more of these. I don't know. I'm in a kind of an unplanned place, where I don't want to have any regulations over me. Which doesn't mean nothing happens. Just means I don't want to say, oh, on this day, I'll do this. Because after you do that for a while, you get tired, and maybe that's good to have those regulations, but also very good to just stop, like I'm about to now.